All right, so let's. I gave out these Myra McComas sheets. They're not exhaustive. The real Myra McComas, if you want to see, you know, all the achronim and all the different sheetos, you can look in any of the Kitzer books. They all do an excellent job on this topic. You can look certainly in Rav Forst's Brachas book, Rav Bodner's. The one we have here doesn't really do it, but the newer, fuller edition has, they put together his second pamphlet with his first book, and they made a huge book out of it. Yeah. So Rav Bodner's book does a great job, and yeah. Yeah, no, not the one, not the one, not the blue plain one.
It's a real book, but it's like the size of...
Right, no, this one is the old one, and then they republished it with, like, nice-looking foods. I think there's an orange on the cover with some nice other appetizing things. So that has much, much more in there. I think he does a very nice job with this sugya. In general, his footnotes do great jobs with sugyas, you know, much more so than a lot of other Kitzur books. But anyway, and say I'm sure Zosa Bracha has a ton on this, I'm sure, and Piskei Tshuva says, so if you want to see the names of the achronim and everything to do with this, you could look in those books. They'll all have the names and exactly who holds what. I'm mostly just going to try to throw out the basic svaras that apply to the way you interpret it. It's not really the ikar won't be necessarily the name dropping. It'll be the basic ideas that we're going to work with. Okay, so if you take a look in the first Maariv Malkum, the Gemara Brachas Membezim et Aleph. So they talk about eating Pasa Baba Kisnin with or without a Kaviya Suda. So it starts off Rav Huna, Achal Tlesa Rifte, B'nei Tlasa Tlasa, Bekava Velo Barich. Right, so without getting involved in that exact case, I'll skip a little bit further. Where should we start? Right, it says Rav Yehuda, second line, Rav Yehuda Ava Osik Le Libre, Be Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva. Aisul kamayu pasa baba kisten. So they brought in front of him pasa baba kisten. Kiyasa shaminu to come avarche amotzi. So we heard that he was going to. He said it amotzi on pasa baba kisten. Amar lahu matzitzi koshamana. Right. So he was a little bit sarcastic with him. He says, "I hear you saying something tzitzi. What's that?" He wasn't sure what he's saying over there. You know, sounds like kind of like a little bit like amotzi, but I couldn't have heard that because that's just wrong. Right. So he says. Dilma hamotzi lechem in haaretz kol mevarchisu. So what, you're saying a hamotzi on pasa baba kisnin? So amale in, detanya, Rabbi Muna omer, mishim Rabbi Huda, pasa baba kisnin, mevarchim lev hamotzi. V'amar Shmuel, lechka Rabbi Muna. So he has a good source to say that you do say hamotzi on pasa baba kisnin. Amale hu, ein alacha ka Rabbi Muna itmar. No, you actually got the exact opposite of what Shmuel said. Shmuel said that alacha is not that you say hamotzi on pasa baba kisnin. Rather, you say a borei mina mizonos. Amr lahu, ein alach ramuna. Sorry about that. Amri lei, v'ham mar hu da amar mishmei de shmua lachmanios ma'arvin bohen umavarchan lan hamotzi. There you go. So it's an erev and sugya. Also, you can make an erev with lachmaniot, right? Lachmaniot nowadays in modern Hebrew just means rolls, but in those days it meant something else. We're not really going to get into that, but. You know, it's covered also at length in terms of what that is. So lachmanios, lachora is something with a different kind of dough. It has a thick dough, but it's not exactly a regular piece of bread, right? So he says over there, you make a bari amotzi lechem an aretz, and you could use it for an eruv. So he answered back, no, shiny awesome, the kava sudase alayu. No. Lachmanios are pasa baba kisnin, but over there you ate a whole meal of these lachmanios. Aval hecha de lo kava sudase alayu lo. But if you weren't kove suda, then it's not so. Then you don't say a hamotzi, you say bar minei mizonos. So basically see two klalim from the Gemara. Klal number one is that you say a bar minei mizonos on pasa baba kisnin, but klal number two is that if you're kovea su'uda on pasa baba kisnin, then you say a hamotzi and you bench at the end. Right? It doesn't spell out that you bench at the end, but that's what it means. Right? So this is a very important yisod. That's something that's going to change the bracha on certain foods, is that if the pasa baba kisnin is eaten, the Torah's kviya su'uda, so that's going to make it into hamotzi, even if the bracha on the pasa baba kisnin would have otherwise been mizonos. So that's also something to keep in the back of your mind. Okay, the Rishonim will get in on this question of, we don't know what this word means. Nobody knows what the word pasa baba kisnin is, right? So there's there's a very serious discussion, and Kimat all the Rishonim jump in. They're fairly well summarized in the Rabbeinu Yonah on the Rif in the back of the Gemara. I underlined certain parts of it, but really the whole thing is kedai to read because he gets into another discussion also, which is important for understanding Pshat in the Gemara, but we're not really going to deal with it tonight. But he basically says, Pirish Rashi, the kisnin humine kloyos. Says, what is kisnin? Actually, remember one time I was in, when I was in YU, somebody, we were in shir, and somebody was eating a snack before shir. Kedetan barbe rav, ayalakala. Right? So, right on the way to shir, the guy had a snack. And he was showing me what was in there. I said, "What bracha is?" I didn't know what it was. It's some type of chips. So he was showing me the ingredients. He's like, "Look, it had all these different flavorings in it." So he says, "That's kisnin right there." So the question is, what did he mean by that? Did he just mean that all of these extra ingredients makes it possible to be kisnin, or he was telling me that's what the word kisnin means? Because Rashi says that's not what the word kisnin means. Rashi says kisnin is some type of roasted wheat kernels. Kloyos, those were the candies of the day, right? They used to have kloyos ve'gozen. At my seder, my wife buys chocolate-covered lollipops, all the Pesach staples, the various candies and cakes for the kids to, not cakes, that would be bad. He buys a lot of things so that when the kids say something or they ask a question or whatever, they do something good at the Seder, so they get a treat right away. That's what the Gemara says in Arvei Pesachim. You're supposed to be machalik, kloyos ve'gozen to the tinokos, so that they don't sleep and so that they participate, etc. So in those days, the candies weren't so gishmak, right? If you think that Pesach candies today haven't come a long way, so they've even come a long way since I was a kid. When I was a kid, there was Bartons, and that was it. You got Bartons, in your tzedakah. You had to sell them from school. I don't know if you guys had to do that as kids. And that was it. But that was the only such thing as that was the only type of kosher Pesach candy you could get. Now there's tons and tons of various frumi brands that even really, I don't know, the products have improved over the years. Anyway, if you take Pesach ketchup from 10 years ago and Pesach ketchup from last year, it's literally yom and v'loyla. It's really in the color, in the taste, in the texture. Things have gotten better. But in those days, they didn't have any of that stuff. They had kloyos ve'gozim. That was it. They had roasted wheat kernels. And that's what they used to throw, by the way, at the chasanim also, when they would go to the Beis HaMikdash. That says they'd throw, they didn't throw bags of fruit gems. They threw kloyos ve'gozim. That was basically the all-purpose candy. That was the all-purpose candy that they used to use in those days. And Rashi says, and he brings a couple of rayas. He quotes the Gemara in Erevin over there, and the Gemara in Suvis, that kloyos means roasted wheat kernels. Kloyos. Kisnin means the roasted wheat kernels, the kloyos that they used to use. So, what is pas haba bi kisnin? So Rashi has the most literal definition: haba bi kisnin. It's pas. It's bread that comes together with this candy. Right? It's not necessarily that the kisnin's part of the bread. So if you look at the ingredients and you're looking for the kisnin, you're not going to find it, because the kisnin is the side dish that goes with the pas. So what does that mean? So Rabbeinu Yonah explains, according to Rashi, min hagam hayalecho tchila haklayos v'achar klayos ha'oyuchin pas yadua shahayu bo mine tavlim harbe u'mipnei ha'tavlim ein derech lecho mimena kolkach. So he says, what they used to do is they used to start off the meal or a side dish or a snack with these candies. And to go with the candies, they used to eat some type of bread which had a good deal of flavoring in it, had a lot of spices in it, some type of thing to give it a different kind of flavor. And because of the type of flavor that it had, the Derech HaOlam was not to eat a tremendous amount of this food. It was not a meal food, it was a snack food. So he says, "Umishum hachi amru shezeh pas sheochlim achar klayos sheton bracha lefaneh barim inei mizonos ve'ein ton bracha lachrov." Right. So he says that's what we're talking about. Since it's the type of food that you would eat together with the kisnin, i.e., what was the type of food? It was this special type of bread that had a lot of flavoring. So that's why you only say a mezonos and you don't bench afterwards. There's a discussion in the Rabbeinu Yonah, what does it mean, a mevarch an achra, but the Gemara says, we skipped that part of the Gemara, but the Gemara has such a lashon that you don't say a bracha achrona. Usually that refers to either no bracha achrona or bar nefashos, more likely. But you don't say a bar nefashos or no bracha achrona after this, so that's a whole discussion that they have over here. And based on the discussion, Rabbeinu Chananel comes up with a different definition of pasah babakistin. I underline that one also. It says, Rabbeinu Chananel Zal said, the pas haba bikisnin ratzulomar haba bikisin. The word kisnin is not referring to klayos, it's referring to kiss, like pockets. So what does that mean? She'osin min ha'isa kimo kis, u'machnisin bifnim, shkedim udvash, umine mesika. So he says, what do you put in there? You make these pockets, and you fill the pockets with almonds, and honey and other types of sweet things. Okay, and the rest of the Rabbeinu Yonah is very important, and you have to get, it's kedai to go through it, but not for now. So anyway, you have two major shitas that are quoted in Rabbeinu Yonah. That number one, it's talking about bread that was eaten together with kisnin, nothing to do with it. The kisnin have anything to do with the bread, but since it was being eaten together with this snack of candies that they used to eat in those days, so it was dafka, the type of bread that you didn't eat as a meal, because we weren't talking about eating a meal here. So that's why it was mezonos, because you'd add a lot of flavoring into the bread, and that would make it into bar minei mezonos. Whereas Rabbeinu Chananel wants to say that it's talking about kisnin means kisim, talking about pockets, and therefore it's talking about bread that was put together with a pocket so that you could be machnis these different types of additives. And pay close attention, he says what the additives are. He says almonds, he says, right, shkedim, dvash, and mine mesika, sweet things. Right? That's what you mentioned before. He didn't say deli. He said Yidavka put in other types of things. So it's something to keep in the back of your mind also. Okay. And again, it's kedai to see the whole thing. If you look in the Beis Yosef, he gives you the rundown also. Beis Yosef in Simon Kuf Samaches quotes it from other Rishonim, as I mentioned, they all get in on this. Yeah?
Sorry, so according to Rashi, do they have anything to do with, are you eating the klayos and the bread at the same time, or you ate the klayos?
It sounds like you do it afterwards, but who adin? I don't think that's part of the halacha.
And the bread is not regular bread.
No, he says clearly, v'achar haklayos hayochlim pas yodua shehoyu bo mine tavlim harbe mivnei tavlim ein derech lechol mimena kol kach. Right.
Sort of
to wash down the, let's put it this way. I'm not saying that this is what Rashi meant, but l'chora this is what Rashi meant. We had the meet your teachers night the other night. So at the end, one of the teachers said to the principal, he said, right now we had a lot of deli meat and chicken or whatever. So he said, I feel strange going up to talk to the parents with deli on my breath. He said, it would have been nice if we'd had some cookies or something to end off the meal with, so that would be the flavor that you have in your mouth when you leave, right? So that seems to be what Rashi's talking about. He's saying that you'd eat these klayos, you'd eat different fruits, but you don't want to walk around. That's not the last flavor you want in your mouth as you go. They hadn't yet invented the Listerine pocket packs or whatever, so they would eat some pasah babakisnin. They'd eat some of this pas with a lot of tavlin in it in order to get that flavor into their mouth, so that's the flavor that they could walk around with all day. Lachar, that's what he's referring to. Again, calling it cookies is definitely putting words into Rashi's mouth, but as we'll see, that it could turn out that that's exactly what he meant. Right? Okay. All right, so the Beis Yosef quotes it from the Rambam, the Rambam's Lashon, right? He quotes Gimel Halacha Tes in Hilchas Brachos, Shehu Isa Shenilosha Bidvash O Bishemen O Bechalov O Sheirev Ba Mine Tavlin Va'afa. So he just elaborates on the same concept that you added a lot of different ingredients to the bread. You added it with honey and oil, milk, or different types of spices. This is important. So Beis Yosef starts off, he says, L'chorah, there's no water in there whatsoever. What did you use to knead the dough? You used these other liquids, not water. Right? So he wants to say, let's say you have some bread, and it's milchic bread, just to make life interesting, because you're really not allowed to have milchic bread. So let's say you bake milchic bread, but it's a small amount, and it's enough for one sitting, and you baked it in such a shape that's a simon, that it's milchic bread, right? So it was made with a decent amount of milk. So when you taste it, let's say Thomas's English muffins, right? How on earth Thomas's English muffins can be kosher? It's an interesting question. There's an interesting answer. It's not that it's wrong, but lechora Thomas's English muffins. You look at the package, so it's OUD, right? And Huadinami, other English muffins also are OUD.
You should say what the problem with dairy bread is.
A dairy bread lechora because the simple problem with dairy bread is that what do you eat in a sandwich? Sometimes you eat peanut butter. Sometimes you eat not bisman hazeh already. That's already finished. But you would eat regular butter, soy peanut butter, or you could eat a deli sandwich. You could have a hamburger. You could have meat in there. You could have chicken in there. You know,
the bread itself is kosher.
The bread itself is gzeira midrabanan, that you're not supposed to have such a thing. You shouldn't leave it around. So if you make enough for one seuda, Shulchan Aruch in, I think it's Simon Pei Tes, but I don't quote me on that. No, Tzadik Tes, sorry. Anyway, the Shulchan Aruch there says that if you have certain requirements, i.e. that you only bake the small amount that's going to be finished by the end of this meal, so you're not going to leave it lying around the house for someone to then make a salami sandwich out of it, and it's baked in a certain simen, either you have a simen baked into the bread, not that you wrote on bread in a way that's going to get rubbed off, but the bread itself is recognizable as different from every other type of bread, so then you lechora that's not a problem. Then it's clear that you're not going to have to worry about eating it together with a salami sandwich. Those are some of that term that they use for Thomas's English muffins, right? That it has the nooks and crannies, and it's a different sug of bread, and maybe the D on the OUD helps a little bit as also a simen, and they're all small portion. There's a lot of, you can mitzdarif a lot of shvera coolers to get one decent cooler, you know? So, okay, well, nice of the OU's makel, so, you know, I think I have them in my house, so I don't know. So, okay. So, anyway.
Is Rambam remaining for Al's opinion?
Yes. No. Not at all. The Rambam is much closer to Rashi. The Rambam is saying there's something in the dough itself, meaning that, as we'll see, Rabbeinu Chananel Lechora is talking about regular bread dough, and you make it into a knish, you know, or something that has a barek, I don't know what you want to call it, that has meat in there. Well, we'll get into whether or not a knish or barek, all these things, how do they fit the bill? Anyway, so but what the Beis Yosef is doing here with the discussion is, so you have your OUD bread, and you now are eating it. You don't know what bracha to make because there's milk in there. But lechora, you don't taste the milk when you eat it. When you eat a Thomas's English muffin, you taste any milk? I don't taste any milk, right? So that's what the Beis Yosef is saying. The milk is bottled to the water. It's mostly flour and water with a few additives, but it's mostly flour and water. And whatever milk or whatever honey or whatever additives are in there are pretty much bottled to the flour and water. So it's going to be a motzi lechem min haaretz. It's not a borei minei mezonos. That's what he's saying so far. So it would have to be a significant amount of additives in order to affect the taste and it not to be bottled. That seems to be what he's saying. And then he says, v'dayik lishna, right? And that's why the Rambam Bedafka, thank you very much. That's why the Rambam Bedafka says you kneaded it with with honey, right? Because he didn't say you needed it with honey and water. He says you use that. Obviously, there's going to have to be a little bit of water in there just so you can get yourself a dough. But it's mostly the honey, mostly the milk, whatever. Dimlokein havalei lemeimar isa shenasal natocha dvash, right? It would be isa that you put dvash inside. El dimashakasav osha irev ba minetavlin ikal meidach ibcha. Problem is, in the next part of the Rambam, you can make the opposite diuk. You have dough, and then you add it. You put some oregano in there, and you put some sugar in there, and you put some other stuff in there. So all of a sudden, it's really bread with some additive. So which one is it? Is it not at all bread? It's honey and flour with a little bit of water just so you can knead it? Or is it the opposite? Is it bread with some additives in there? So the hataruv is tavlin, davar mu'adhu. Because how many spices are you putting in? So vafilu achi motziyah so mitoris lechem linyan amotzi. The teida da ha'isa shenilosha b'mei peiras tnan. Quotes the Mishnah in the Seches Chala. It says you have dough that you needed it with mei peiros to chayeves b'chala. It's still chayev and chala. Vafilu achi eino mevarech alea hamotzi kol shelo kava ale kol shelo kava ale. Hilchach al korchach lomar delav b'midi demikre lechem talya milsa ela lo kavu chachamim levarech hamotzi v'sholosh brachos afilu b'kezayis ela b'lechem shederech b'nei adam likvoa olov. That's the koveh, right? No terrible pun intended. That the ikur way of establishing whether or not something is mizonos or hamotzi is not whether or not it's going to be chayiv and chala, and anything that's chayiv and chala is called bread. I read recently, as a side point, that the reason Shabbos challah is called challah is that the Nashim Tzidkanios of Klal Yisrael always wanted to do the mitzvah of Hafrashas challah, so they were always makbid to bake a large amount of challah for the family every Shabbos, so that they would have to be chayiv and challah, because you can't just bake a little bit of challah in order to be chayiv and Hafrashas challah, you have to bake a serious amount. So that's the reason that Shabbos bread is referred to as challah. Because the word challah is referring to the mitzvah of challah, not bread. Bread is lechem. So anyway, that's just an interesting fact. If you want to know why it's called challah, that's one of the reasons that they say. Anyway, so he's saying you could be chayiv and challah even if you're going to be making a mezonos on it. So it's not totally in whether it's challah. It's totally in whether you're going to be koveya seuda. Dahainu isa shenilosha b'mayim levad b'li shum tarovis. It's got to be flour and water without adding things in. Aval kol sheyesh bo shum tarovis mimei peros o mitavlin kevin shein derech b'nei adam lekvoa sudasan alav lo chivu levarech hamotzi v'sholosh brachos elim kein achal shir shederech b'nei adam lekvoa alav. This is the famous sheet of the Beis Yosef. Svardim keep adayom hazeh. We'll see it in the Shulchan Aruch as well. That if you want to make hamotzi on a piece of bread, it's got to be a piece of bread. It's got to be flour and water. And it has to taste like bread. It can't taste like extra additives that you're going to put into the bread. Yeah?
So is he saying this, what the Rambam says at the end of the day?
Yes, that's his Iker Diuk in the Rambam.
Even though there's an earlier Diuk that's
what? Yes, he started with that Diuk, but then he said, look at the... He said that's picking up the Lushan of the Mishnah and Challah, which is talking about a totally different Inyan. But he says the Iker is the second half of the Rambam. That's the deal that he's going to make. That he likes the idea that it's really talking about dough, and then you added something to the dough. Yeah.
And then the things that are like the stuff that you made, peros and vash, that only if you're koveya, then you would have hamotzi on that according to the Beis.
Right. Well, again, anything which is possible b'kisnin, if you're koveya seuda on it, then you have to make hamotzi. That's the Gemara.
Right. Okay.
So that's the idea. Okay. That diuk is not necessarily mukhruch, as you just pointed out. He himself, the Beis Yosef himself, pointed out you could be medayik the opposite way in the Rambam. You could say what? I mean, what would be a very nice baal batish diuk that you could make? What would be a... Sherman, you got this one. Anyway. Right? Now, what would be the nice diuk you can make? You could say, well, look at the ingredients that we're talking about here. You know, if you're talking about mei peros or chalav versus mayim, it's totally shayach to have bread which is kneaded with mei peros. It's not shayach to have bread which is kneaded with a tremendous amount of tavlin, because that will taste terrible. So you can be medayik the opposite way. The Rambam is not telling you that when it comes to meperos, you need a lot, but when it comes to tavlin, you need a little. Excuse me. Rambam is not telling you that when it comes to tavlin, even a little tavlin will ruin it. He's telling you that it depends on what the ingredients are. You could put in a lot of meperos and the taste will only change a little bit. But you could put in a little bit of tavlin and the taste will change a lot. Maybe that's the pshat in the Rambam. He's not saying that you should dafka be medayik in the second half, that we're only talking about a small additive. You hear what I'm saying? So that's why the Beis Yosef's diuk is not necessarily muskam, as we'll see. I don't think that's the only reason why, but even within the Rambam, it doesn't have to be that way. Okay. At the end, he says a very famous line, which you'll see in the Shulchan Aruch as well. Ulinyan halacha came in the sveika b'midi derabananhu naktinan kedivrei kulam lahakil. We have a rule, savik derabanan lekula, and we're going to be makel, and we're going to say that if it's kisim shememalim osam bedvash, ushkedim kegon hanikrim, I don't know, see if you can pronounce that. Ubeino Isa She'irvu Ba Meperos Omine Tavlin. Right? See if you can pronounce that. Kulam Din Pasa Ba Bekisnin Yeshlam Veino Mavarech Aleim HaMoti V'Sholosh Bracha Selam Ken Kavas Udaso Olav O Ochal Shir Shederech Bnei Adam L'Kvo Olav. So notice two different things at the end there. Number one, if you're Koveya, you're Suda on it. Or if you eat the amount that most people are Koveya Suda. Not the same thing. I have to talk about that a little bit also. So basically we laid our foundation here in terms of two of the three types of pasa babikistan. So type one pasa babikistan we're going to have, we'll call it, for argument's sake, we'll call it cake. Right? Type one pasa babikistan, that's what Rashi and the Rambam Lechor are referring to, is that if you have this bread and it's not just flour and water, you've added a lot of things to it that are going to make it taste much different than bread, l'chora. So that's going to be a different type of pas. And like we said, that's not the derech b'nei adam, l'kvoa sudaso alayu. It's not the normal way to eat for a meal. You don't sit down, what are you having for dinner? I'm having this nice Entenmann's cake that my mom picked up, you know, today, that I'm going to have the whole cake for dinner. If you would have a whole cake for dinner, you would have to wash and bench. But that's not the derech b'nei adam to eat for a meal, right? Rather, it's like what Rashi laid out, which was that it's the derech b'nei adam to have a little bit of that at the end of eating something else. So that's the first type of pasa babikistan that we mentioned. Second type of pasa babikistan that we mentioned was what you could call a knish or a pie, which means that you have dough, which is seemingly regular dough, that you then put something inside and wrapped it up and baked it together. Very important that it was baked together. Obviously, if you have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, it's different than if you made something with dough and peanut butter and jelly inside. Although, as we'll see, that might be the same bracha, right? Depends necessarily what's inside. So this is all background. There is going to be a third shita, but it wasn't cited in what we saw so far, the shita of Rav Haigon, which is that we're not talking about either of those things. We're talking about crackers. Talking about crackers. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin, Siman Kuf Samaches, we're talking about crackers, right? What did you say?
What was the second
That's the kis, literally. Kisnin refers to kisim, refers to pockets in the bread that you baked additives into a pocket in the bread, like a pie or a knish, and you
they
put
have
it.
To be baked together, you said?
What?
They have to be baked.
Yes. Because otherwise, what do you have? You have a piece of bread, and then you put a little bit of jelly on top. So that's a jelly sandwich. No, it's not a pie. Saying.
But like the outside knish, like it's
right. So that's
is different though.
We'll have to see. So I use the term knish loosely. Okay. I'll call it, maybe use bereka better. Bereka? No. Calzone. Okay, calzone is a better term.
Right.
Berekas and calzone. No, berekas are flaky dough. Calzone is like a pizza dough. Right? Okay. All right. Anyway, so if you look in the Mechaber, he quotes the different shitos. He starts off with the Kisim Shita, right? He quotes in the Bir HaGol, he quotes that in the name of the Rush, quoting, oh no, not the Rush, quotes the Rabbeinu Hanan on the Aruch and the Tur and the Rashba. That's the first opinion. The second opinion is Isa She'erev Badvash or Shemin Ocholav or Mine Tavlin Vafo. That he quotes from the Ramba. As we saw, it's also the opinion of Rashi. And the last opinion is after the Rama, which is very hard to differentiate on those sheets. I'm sorry about that. The last opinion that he quotes is Rav Haigon, quoted by the Aruch, Shehu Pas, Bein Metuvelis, Bein She'enu Metuvelis, meaning it could have additives or no additives. She'osim osam ke'ovim yeveshim v'kosisim osam. You make them into these dried out crackers and you chew them. V'heim anikroim, maybe biscuits? I don't know what he's referring to exactly. But again, I can't really pronounce any of those words. So the halacha kedivrei kulam shel cholei ledvarim nostim lehem dinim shamar pasavah bekisnin. So the halacha is like all of them, as the mechaber said before. So we have our three types of pasavah bekisnin, and the mechaber says the halacha is kedivrei kulam. So what's the reason the halacha is kedivrei kulam? That's a great question. The mechaber already answered it in the Beis Yosef. He says sveik derabanan lekula. So I'm just going to be makel by all three types, because far be it for me to ever be machriya rachlokis rishonim. So I'm saying that's what he does for a living, no? Saying, so he says, I'm not going to be machriya the machlokis rishonim, rather I'm going to paskin like all three. So that's the big kasha on the Beis Yosef. This one time, he doesn't want to be machriya the machlokis rishonim, so he paskins all three are mizonos? Could be the answer is, yeah, this time he does it, other times he doesn't do it, because he felt that in Suffolk brachos, you're going to be yotzei b'dieved no matter how you slice it when it comes to all three brachos. But you know, in other types of Yisurim Durabanan, one could be right, one could be wrong, and there's going to be a big nafkamina. Here, there's no real nafkamina anyway, even if all three of them are going to get a mizonos. So okay, it's not the end of the world. That's the Bach's kasha on the Beis Yosef. The Bach says, I don't understand something, right? If you make the wrong bracha, you could violate losisa, right? Whether it's losisa deraisa, losisa derabanan, that's a different discussion. But you violate an isser of losisa shem Hashem lokech lashav, even on a level of derabanan, it's not a joke. We're not trying to violate isurim here. So the Bach doesn't understand what he's talking about. But lechora, it's not really much of a kasha. The Aruch HaShulchan answers this, and it's simply intuitive that the You're definitely yotze if you say borim minei mizonos even on a piece of bread, because lechem is mezon zayni. It fills you up. It satiates you, and therefore you don't have to worry b'dieved if you made a mizonos on something which really required a hamotzi. So that's perhaps the pshat in the mechaber. Yeah.
What is it that makes why is it more chomer to say hamotzi than?
No, so that's the point. That if you say bar minei mizonos and really the bracha was hamotzi, so lechora you're yotze. If you say hamotzi lechem in haaretz and the bracha was really mizonos, then you're not yotze. It's not lechem. It's pasav b'kisnin, right? Yeah.
Why is this derabanan? I mean, do you mean it's
losisa?
No, I was saying he was saying the reason why the Beis Yosef
bracha rishon is derabanan.
Even though
and so he says, what about bracha achrona? So there are, he says, there are deis that you could be yotzei benching deraisa with me'ein sholosh. Even if midrabanan, you're not yotzei, maybe midraisa you were yotzei.
Right. I was thinking, it does relate, I mean, whatever you, it is going to relate to the...
Right, so the bracha achrona, no, so the bracha achrona could be that you're yotzei min haTorah, just saying me'ein sholosh. Okay. That's one understanding of what's going on here. So within this understanding, there is a big machlokis between the Mechaber and the Ramah. So if you look in the Ramah part, it's hard to differentiate. It's right after he says, "V'hushi etam tarovis hamei peros o atavle nikar be'isa." So then he says, "V'yeshomrim zok the Ramah shezed nikra pas gomur." What the Mechaber just said is that if you can just taste the additives, that's called pas gomur. Elim kein yesh b'hem harbe tavlin odvash kimine mesika shekoren lekech, right? Which, if you have the fancy Mishnah Berurah, says on the bottom uga, cake. Shekimat hadvash v'atavlin heim iker v'chein noagim. So he says there it has to be that the taste is so different that you literally don't really recognize the dough and the flour. You're eating it for the additives. And that's the Iker opinion, and that's the opinion of the Ramah. And if you look in whoever wrote the Maamar Kolos for the Ramah, he says, Rashi in the Aruch, V'chin Yesh Lefarish Das HaRambam. I don't know if it's Dafka the way we did it, but Yesh Lefarish Das HaRambam, that's what he holds. So, so he says, so the Ramah is saying, I mean, listen, let's take a simple nafkamina. Egg challah, right? If you ever have a Sephardi over at your house for Shabbos, so you have to be nice to them and buy them some good old-fashioned water challah, right? Because they hold that egg challah, which is very nice and sweet, you know, even if you don't have, Zamek's egg challah, but if you have regular Ashkenazi egg challah, so that's going to be for, as far as I know, most Sephardim would make a bar mitzvah mizonos if they ate that during the week or on Shabbos. You could argue, so we're going to be koveh seudah on it at the Shabbos table, so that's good enough, right? You guys did that sugya about the Shabbos maybe koveh anyway, so maybe that helps, but or not. But okay, l'maisa egg challah would be a big nafkamina. And kal v'chomer, if you're going to talk about zamek's challah, and you're going to talk about the newer, sweeter types of egg challahs with in the challah, there's also additives, and really that's going to be a major problem for Sfarim. Yeah. So what about for Ashkenazim? So I think it's the Prima Gadim who talks about raisins. I'm not sure. Somebody talks about raisins in the challah, and he says that doesn't passel up the challah because it's still the Iker challah, and the raisins are clearly something that's put in after the fact, even though it's baked together, but it's not. That's not what it's there for, you know? Yeah, I'm not saying that it doesn't taste a little better. There's also something called honey challah that chocolate chip challah already, I'm drawing the line. like chocolate chip challah, is it gloy milsa that it wasn't a challah to begin with? I don't know. I'm saying you can't, so far I'm not willing to say, I don't know. It's hard to say that chocolate chip challah is going to be hamotzi. I don't know. If you have a chocolate chip challah, again, you're not really going to run into nafkamina because you're being koveya the whole suuda on the challah, so you're probably going to get away with it regardless. But if you're in a situation where you're going to eat, let's say you're going to eat challah shudas, so what are you really going to eat for challah shudas? Half a roll, a whole roll? So not much, right? So if you're already, it's a short Shabbos, and you were Mekayim, achacha v'ena v'rosho, that you didn't stuff yourself at lunch, but even if you didn't stuff yourself at lunch, if Shalosh Shudas is 5 o'clock in the afternoon, how much can you eat already? So you're going to have a piece of challah and a little tiny bit of tuna or whatever, and that's it. That's the whole Shalosh Shudas. So make sure that little piece of challah that you eat is not chocolate chip challah. I don't know. That you get away from the problem. But otherwise, you're not really going to have enough kamina if you love chocolate chip challah. So again, if you're Koveh Suda on it, you're good to go regardless. And if not, so be koveh suda on regular challah, and then break out the chocolate chip challah right afterwards. You know, so do you have to make a separate bracha in the middle of the meal? All right, you know. Now that's already just trying to make trouble. Anyway, so I don't know, you're familiar, you've seen it. It's pretty common now. Yeah, so I don't know if you like it. So I'll get... we'll try to elaborate on this a little bit more. Let's go back a little bit to type one, and we'll try to get some sort of a picture of everything. The first one was what we were calling calzones or pies, which was seemingly bread dough, regular bread. And that's what we saw in the quote in the Beis Yosef. We saw that quote in the Rabbeinu Yonah, B'Shem the Rabbeinu Chananel, that it was regular bread, nothing added necessarily, could be added, could be not added, and that you bake it with another ingredient. Right? And that's what the Mechaber says. What do you put in there? Dvash, o sukar, ve'egozim, u'shkeidim, ve'tavlin. So those are what you put inside your kiss. Right? So that's questionable exactly what that psak is. Did he mean that, let's say, you filled it up with something else, then it wouldn't be pasa baba kisnin? Or did he mean that if that no matter what you filled it up with, but that was the minute to fill it up with that sort of thing. So this is a major shaila. And this is l'chora the deli roll shaila, maybe. So what the poskim seem to divide on, and again, if you want to get all the names and how they stack up, this is really a major machlok between the Taz and the Magen Avraham. I think the Mishnah Brura quotes the Taz. I'm not sure if he's quoting him because he dafka paskins like him, but I think so. But the Magen Avraham has a very strong raya from the Mechaber later on. Yeah, it's in the end of Sifkat and Chav Zayin. He writes, V'kosav ha-taz, dim nilkach ha-peiros, v'olcha rak ha-isa, afilu hachim v'varach marim ne mezonas v'lo ha-moti, d'yesh ala din kisnin, kevan sh'nefanim mile peiros, shein derech likvos. No, that's not the Taz I was looking for, sorry. There's a different machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Taz, so let's say you put something else in there. Let's say you put meat in there. So you have bread and you have a calzone, which is filled with meat. Let's say meat for starters, right? So you put meat in the calzone and you closed it up and you baked it together. So what's going to be the status? So if you look in the Mechaber later on, you don't have it here, but I think it's the last Se'if in Kuf Samaches, I believe. He says a pashtida, which is what, right, where you, hanefe, nefa, betanur, bebasar, bedagim, o begvina, mevarech, alav, hamotzi, ubirkas, hamazon, right? And then the Ramah doesn't argue on that point. The Ramah has a different qualification where he says, you have to actually bake it, you can't boil it, you know, or you fry it, that's different. But the Mechaber seems to say this pashtida, which is some type of a bereka, calzone, excuse me, I keep doing that. Right? So he says you fill up the dough with either meat or fish or cheese. So then you're going to make a hamotzi on that. So I think the Magen Avraham is the one who says, you see here that it's not a din that the pocket turns it into a hamotzi, that turns it into a mazonos. That's ridiculous. It's the style of food, right? It's the style of food that if it's the type of food that you're going to bake a dough, and inside the dough you're going to put a lot of jelly, or you're going to put a lot of snack type fillings in there, so then that's not a sandwich. That's going to be a snack. People are not going to eat that as a main dish, right? So in that case, it would be a mezonos. But if you're going to take a calzone and you're going to put meat and tomato sauce and mushrooms and onions in there, so what do you have there? You have yourself this exact thing that the Mechaber is describing by his pashtida. You have yourself a meal food, right? You have a meat pot pie or a chicken pot pie or something like that. So not getting into what the crust is made out of right this second, but that would be a problem of maybe being a meal food, and that's subject to this machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Taz, as to what the status of that bracha is. Yeah.
So the Taz thinks that it's not specific.
I'm pretty sure the Taz is the one who says that it doesn't matter what you put in there, the whole style of the shape and the style of the food is a snack food. Yeah.
He says like it's a din in the pocket as opposed to
right. Okay, you know, he says you have a piece of bread, you're not making pockets in your bread. What? Yeah,
right.
You don't make pockets in bread, you make pockets in mezonos. That's the whole point. He says the Magen Avraham is saying no, the pocket, the whole yisod of the pocket is that you're putting something snack related in the pocket. It's not so that you can make a meat bereka or a meat pashtida. You don't want to do that. So that's a big machlokes, halacha lemaisa. It's good to stay away from such a machlokes if you can. Okay, so what have we covered so far? So we've covered things that have other foods inside. So maybe that's totally in what the food is. And we've covered things that have additives into the dough itself. And that's going to be a big machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah. So the third thing to cover would be the last one, Rav Haigon Shita, which is crackers. So what's the number one problem with Rav Haigon Shita, especially for Ashkenazim? Right? Yeah, matzah. We eat this on Pesach and we call it bread. So it's hard for an Ashkenazi with a straight face to take a cracker, especially they make these things called matzah crackers. Right? Some of them are kosher Pesach, some of them are not, so be careful. Right? You can get yourself a nice non-kosher Pesach matzah cracker. So it become very difficult to take a matzah cracker in your hand and it's the same matzah, just broken up into a little piece. So, well, you're going to make a mezonos on that, but if it was bigger, it would be hamotzi? It's very hard to understand. So the answer is not that much better, but basically Ashkenazim are makabel upon themselves to make a hamotzi on matzah all year round, because for a certain time of the day, of the year, that's the bread of the day. That's clearly what we're going to, and even if you would argue that maybe the Iker Brachas Mizonos were clearly Kovei our Seudos on matzah, and therefore for the period of Pesach, our bread is matzah. And thus, the rest of the year, it doesn't lose its shame bread. In other words, that works out much better, as we'll see, according to a different mahalach that we're going to learn at the end. But even according to this mahalach, if you're using it as bread for an extended period of time, 7-8 days a year, so that qualifies it as bread, and it qualifies as bread all year round. Sfardim don't buy into that. They make a hamotzi on matzah on Pesach and a mezonos on matzah all year round. What? No, I'm not saying this halacha l'maisa, but maybe it's much better for Sfardim if they actually eat Sfardi matzos and not Ashkenazi matzos on Pesach to get out of this machlokis as to what to do the rest of the year. So the rest of the year, when you have your crackers, you can make a mezonos, and during Pesach, they won't eat the crackers. They'll eat their lafas that they call matzah. By the way, we call that matzah too. The Mechaber writes that matzah can be up to a tefach thick. A tefach is pretty thick, right? Matzah is allowed to be up to a tefach thick before you have to be choshed that it became chametz. Really, it's not necessarily chametz if it's more than a tefach thick, but we don't want to get involved. And the Ramah writes there that our minig is to eat rikikin dakin. Our minig is to eat wafers, right? It's the crackers. But in a chinami, we don't think that that's chametz. You know, if you have a Sephardi at your table, my brother-in-law had that he has his brother-in-law is Sephardi. And he brought his Sephardi matzahs, and he asked the Rav. And the Rav said, Avada, you could have it sitting right next to you on the table. It's not a shiloh whatsoever. It's 100% not chametz. He says, you shouldn't eat it necessarily, because our minig is like the Ramah. But it's not chametz, of course. It's not going to trafe up any of your pots. It's not going to trafe up your tablecloth. It's not going to trafe up your matzah. But, you know, again, the minig is not to eat it. We have a lot of minhagim and a lot of chumras when it comes to Pesach. So we avoid these things. But in reality, that's just as much matzah for us as it is for them. We just don't, our minig is not to have it. So, okay, so all that being said, you have your three types of pasa babi kistin. Right? So this is going to lead us to two possibilities in understanding why the Mechaber is passing like all three shitas. Possibility number one is, like we said, Savik Darabana Lakula, right? And therefore, he's going to be Mekel, and Lachora Mezonos is a much better way to go than Hamotzi for any of these cases. But that's very dochak in the sense that the Mechaber is constantly Machria, all kinds of different types of Machlokas Rishonim, and all of a sudden here, he's very bashful about being Machriya the Machlokas. So why does he dafka rely on Safik Brachas Lahakil or Safik the Rabbanon Lakula here and not other places? That's problem number one. And problem number two is maybe that's not the Iker Pshat. Maybe the Mechaber is not exactly the way to go. So if you look in, I gave you a copy from the Aruch HaShulchan, but other Achronim say this as well. At the very end of the Aruch HaShulchan, he gets involved in a discussion about this Mechaber. And towards the very end, yes, the Bach's Kasha, how could you getting involved in a, maybe we'll pick it up from there. He quotes the Bach's Kasha, is in a Shail of Losisa. So he rejects that. He says, Ve'eno kein, devadei birch mezonos, poter min ha-Torah, afilu pas, dehazayin, right, it's mazin you, you get satiated from it, so it's called mazon. So he says, "Bar minei mezonos would work." Vegan birchs ala michya poter min haTorah lakama poskim sheminaTorah ein tzarich rak bracha achas. Omnom lani is daiti. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, in my opinion, Niradein Tzarech Lomar Mitam Sveika Derabonin. You don't have to say, the pshat is that it's a Safik Derabonin. Now, I don't know what he means by this. He might mean he's going against the Mechaber anyway, because it's hard to say that's not what the Mechaber meant, because the Mechaber said it in the Beis Yosef. Right? So it's hard to say that the Mechaber didn't mean Sveika Derabonin. So maybe what he meant is he was more willing to go Sveika Derabonin here than everywhere else, or he could just be giving a different pshat than the Mechaber. Either one is possible. It's not really based on Sveika Derabonin, right? So Ela Shemeikar Adin Kain Hu. Ela Shaposkim Mechulakim Bepirusha the Pasaba Bekisnin. They gave different definitions of Pasaba Bekisnin. Aval Ladina in Cholkim Ze Al Ze. They're not arguing on one another when it comes to what bracha they would have made on anything. They're trying to translate the words Pasaba Bekisnin. But they're not saying that I wouldn't agree that that's also mizonos, right? V'harei haRambam kolal kimat kulam, kamoshe kasanu. Earlier on, he tried to prove from the lashon of the Rambam, you can probably include two out of the three types of pasavah b'kisnin. So that this is a new mahalach in terms of understanding the three shitas in pasavah b'kisnin. You can also find this mahalach. The first time I saw it was in the Nesivus Hamishpat in the Chavez Das, the Nesivus Hamishpat, depending on what you like learning better. If you like, you know, learning Nezikim better, so you like the Nesivus. If you like learning Eredeya better, you like the Chavez Das. Either way, Rabbi Yaakov Lorberbaum Melissa has a Haggadah called Haggadah Shel Pesach in Pirush Maisa Nisim. Right? It's Adayom Hazeh with all the Haggadahs out there, many will say, still the best one on the market. Right? It's not actually a separate Sefer, I don't think. That's why it wasn't really published. He has a big sitter with a lot of halachas. I think it's called the Derech HaChaim, but I'm not sure about that. He has a big sitter with all the halachas and minhagim of tefillah and Orach Chaim related things. Mishnah Berurah quotes it from time to time. And I believe in that sitter he has his Haggadah. But when they publish the Haggadah, at the end of the Haggadah, they have this little kuntris b'inyan Birch Sanenin or something like that. And he has that shtickel Torah on Pasavah B'Kisnin, and he says the same word. He says these three things are not the strict definitions of Pasavah B'Kisnin, they're examples of Pasavah B'Kisnin. But who had denami? If you had another example, then the Iker Koveya is not, how does it match up exactly? The Iker Koveya is it a meal food or a snack food? That's what we're worried about here. We're not worried about, does it fit into the strict definition of type 1, type 2, or type 3? Right? Rather, is it something that people normally eat for a meal, or something people normally eat for a snack? That's the real koveya. Right? And if it's the derech to eat it with kviya suda, then it's going to be hamotzi. And if it's the derech to eat it without kviya suda, it's not going to be hamotzi. That's a totally different understanding, like Derech HaShulchan wants to say. Yeah.
At least minimally has to be something about bread, right? I mean, like, it's not anything you'd be koveyas. Like, at least you don't.
Correct. It has to be pas.
Pas,
but what would you do with that pas? Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, go back for a second. Magen Ramos has like meat or cheese in the. Is it better to wash on something else?
Yeah.
Eat that?
Yeah, or be koveyas suit on that.
Or be koveyas suit on that.
Okay, so just a couple of nafkaminas that come out. First of all, we weren't talking a little bit about. We mentioned matzah. We mentioned one other thing that I can't remember now. Oh, challah, right? Egg challah versus water challah. Water challah also has eggs in it, by the way. It's not pure flour and water, but it's not like eggy. It doesn't have that eggy flavor. But what about two major nafkaminas that come out? Are number one is pizza. And number two is mizonos rolls. Okay, so pizza is a complicated one because pizza is going to be totally in a lot of things. Pizza is going to be totally in number one. What is pizza? So lechora pizza fits into the definition of pasavah b'kisnin of Reina Chananel, that it's talking about a calzone, right? It's got a pocket. Doesn't actually have a pocket, but it's baked together with the filling. Right, the fact that it's not covered on top, I don't think matters. Right, the fact that it's baked together with the toppings or the added substances that are not baked into the dough, so that's going to make it bari minei mizonos according to that shita. Problem is number one, it's not covered in sweets, and candies, it's covered in cheese and sauce. So that's going to make it at least subject to this machlokes achron. It's a meal. It's a meal type additive. It's not a candy additive, right? Number two is that apparently some companies knead the dough of the pizza with apple juice. So that's going to go back to how we understood the Rambam Shita and Rashi Shita as to cake. What's called cake, right? So you're really getting involved with a lot of different variables when you talk about pizza. Number three, maybe both of those things go out the window, and all that matters is, do people eat pizza for a snack or do people eat pizza for a meal? So maybe that's a totally new variable that you're going to throw in there. So if you're going to go with the strict definitions of the Mechaber, so you're probably going to come to the conclusion that you're going to make a mezonos on pizza, because you basically have yourself a bit of a sveik sveika. Right? You have, number one, that there is cheese, which is a kiss filler in terms of that, like l'chora. I keep attributing the shita to the Taz. You have to forgive me if I'm wrong about that. Somebody major holds that shita, no matter what you fill it with, it's considered pasabah b'kisnin. So that is one possibility. Or maybe no, it depends whether it's like a candy filling or whether it's a meal filling. And number two, if you use apple juice in kneading the dough, so then it becomes another machlokes achronim, how much apple juice? So does it have to literally be rove apple juice? Does it have to be rove juice that's put in the dough that's going to really change the flavor? Or is it just going to be enough that you could taste it? That's a different shittus in the achronim. Again, I am the Kitzer books, if you want to see all the names. But that's another discussion in the achronim. Is a little bit of apple juice enough, or a ton of apple juice has to be the determining factor? So you get yourself a little bit of a sveik in terms of maybe you don't even need any apple juice. And number two, even if you do need apple juice, so how much apple juice do you need? So you already have two ta'amim to say that you're only going to make a mezonos on it without a kviyas suda. Now, in reality, I can't tell you the last time I would have made a mezonos on pizza. Saying, I don't know. Pizza, to me, is you sit down, you have some pizza, you know, and then you get up and you go about your business. You don't have it as a snack on the run. Saying, it's lunch, it's dinner, whatever it is. It's not like, you know, what do you want to have? I'll have an ice cream cone. I'll have a piece of pizza. You know, I don't know anybody who does that, right? So I don't think in place of a slice of cake with your, let's say, your chsidish, you have a slice of cake before shul Shabbos morning. I don't think with your slice of cake, one guy's going to have some Entenmann's cake and one guy's going to have some pizza, right? It's not shayach. Who's ever eating pizza as a snack? So the only time where you really have a nafkamina is like if somebody's eating a slice of pizza and it looks delicious and you say, can I have some? So then already you get involved. So, but other than that, when else are you going to eat pizza without a kviyas suda? All right, lemaisa, if you are, it's just a metzias vart. It's not. Then, if you hold of this definition, then you would make a bar minei mezonos on the pizza. But, if you hold of the other definition of pasabah b'kisnin, which is that it's meal foods versus snack foods, I find it very difficult to believe that anybody eats pizza mainly as a snack. Saying most people eat pizza as some sort of a meal. So even if you're not kovei suda on the pizza, so you're going to have to make a mezonos on it, the same way even if you're not kovea on a piece of bread, you're going to have to make a motzi on a piece of bread. I said mezonos, I meant hamotzi, sorry. Yeah.
The kovea suda, do we say your digestive body is a kovea?
For the types of foods.
For one slice in terms of some people make.
Oh, so we mentioned before, there's two lishonos that we had in the Rabbeinu Yonah, right? Lashon number one is if you're kovea suda on it, or if you eat the amount that it's derech b'nei adam to be kovei suda on, right? So it sounds like they're two different things. You could be kovei suda on it means something else. It means, let's say my meal is a sandwich. So how much bread am I consuming over the course of that sandwich? Not necessarily so much, but that's kovei suda on the bread. Whereas on the other hand, if you let's say you took your two pieces of cake or two crackers, a big cracker, I guess, I don't know, and you put a bunch of salami and a bunch of pastrami and a bunch of turkey in there, and you put the crackers together, and then you ate the sandwich. So that's l'chor kaviyah suda, without the amount of crackers having to match up to the amount that somebody would eat over the course of a meal. So you would make a hamotzi on that anyway. And another possibility is if you just pound the crackers to the extent that you eat, whatever the shear is, let's just say the amount that one would eat over the course of a meal, so then that would also be a hamotzi and you would bench. So that's going to be, those are two different ways to be koveya suda. So if you're going to be koveya suda on the pizza or the calzone, that's one thing. Or if you eat enough, even if you personally were eating a lot of other things and then you just decided to eat 5, 6, 7 slices of pizza, so then that, even though that wasn't your you weren't koveya suda on the pizza, but that constitutes koveya suda because you ate so much pizza anyway. Yeah.
When you're eating pizza, you're koveya suda on it. But like, I don't know, maybe you said this, but at a certain time, if you're really, really hungry, and you just use it as a snack because you never had like a really big meal later, like even an hour, you're really just having it as a snack just to hold you over whatever. So in that instance, you go by what usually...
I don't know how you usually view it, meaning if you view it from the first way of the Pashup Shat and the Mechaber... So then it's really, if you normally make a mizonos on pizza without kviyas sudas, you're going to make a mizonos on pizza now. It doesn't matter that the last 25 times you had pizza, you ate it with kviyas sudas. That doesn't matter. It just matters that you, be'etzem, you hold the brach on pizza's mizonos. So if you would then have a snack, meaning if you hold the brach on pizza's mizonos, but the last 25 times you had pizza, you ate 4 slices, so you made a hamotzi and benched every time. That doesn't change anything. If you're then going to only eat half a slice of pizza or one slice of pizza, so then you would make a mizonos.
And I'm saying the other way around. Like usually
if you hold the bruch on pizza is hamotzi, so then it's bread. Then it's bread. That's it. You could only want to eat half a slice of bread. It doesn't matter. You might not have to wash if you're going to eat a tiny, tiny amount, or you wash without a bracha. But
you're only calling it bread because you're kovei,
you call it bread because you define bread as the type of doughy things that people are normally koveya suda. Not that you're normally koveya suda. I don't think it's a shaila. Bizman as a pizza is a meal food, not a snack food. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know the world as well as I think I do. But Central Avenue, pizza is a meal food. Right? People don't go to lunch and then stop off at Sabra's for their dessert. You know? You know, they go to Sabra's for lunch. I'm saying they don't go to Sabra's after lunch or before lunch or, you know, at 3 p.m. when they're feeling a little hungry, you know. I'm saying it's filled lunchtime, dinner time. I'm saying it's for the pizza. So I don't think you have to argue that it's a meal food, not a snack food. So if you hold that that's the ikker determinant, then it's bread. Same way a slice of bread, even if you only ate a cube or a breadcrumb, let's say you took out a thing of breadcrumbs and you ate the breadcrumb, that's bread. You know, so that's it. Well, there's nothing else to talk about. Yeah?
I don't know if you were alluding to it earlier, but could it be the way at which you eat the food? Could that be mufka, the food from the kfiyas? Like you said, like...
Again, it's really, the way that you eat it only determines one thing. If you normally make a mizonos, then here now you would also make a mizonos. If you're then koveya suda on that mizonos, you make a hamotzi.
No,
but that's the only time it affects, the amount that you eat affects it only if it's be'etzem mizonos.
Right. So I'm saying, like, if you're eating something, you know, not necessarily pizza, if you're eating whatever, another, like a calzone, but you're eating it on the run.
That doesn't change it, unless you hold the calzones or mizonos.
Right, and, yeah, I'm assuming that
you're eating it as a snack, and it's not the amount that people are normally eat as a meal, then you'd make a mizonos.
If it is the amount that, you know, people normally...
If it's the sheer kviya suda, then it doesn't matter. Right, there's two different things. You are kviya suda on it, or it's the sheer kviya suda.
Whichever one comes first.
What?
Whichever one, I guess, comes
yeah.
first.
Meaning... If it's the sheer kviya suda, it doesn't matter if you're koveya suda on it. And so that's the difference. Okay, so that's the problem with pizza. Pizza and hot pretzels, that's why I told you that kach kibalti merabosai, that mnemonic device. Hot pretzels, as far as I know, and I could be dead wrong about this, hot pretzels are basically bread, right? It could be that they're made with apple juice. I don't know. You can look on the ingredients, they'll tell you, right? But let's pretend hot pretzel is flour and water that's baked. into the shape of a pretzel. Does that change anything? So the mnemonic device I like to use is, depends how you learn Pshat in the Mechaber. If you hold that these are the strict definitions of Pasa Baba Kisnin, then pizza might be mizonos, might be, and pretzels are definitely hamotzi. Right? If you hold no, it's meal foods versus snack foods, then pizza is hamotzi and hot pretzels are mizonos. So whatever bracha you make on pizza is going to determine what bracha you make on... it's a bad one because pizza, you could go either way, but the accepted view within pizza is to make a mizonos if you hold that strict definition of the mechaber, right? So to make a mizonos on pizza, and therefore you'd have to make a hamotzi on hot pretzels. But if you make a hamotzi on pizza, then you're saying basically those are examples of pasa baba kisnin. Those aren't the definition of pasa baba kisnin, and therefore you would make a mizonos on hot pretzels, assuming you weren't koveas ud on them. Let's say you're at a ball game. I don't know. I'm not saying it's halacha l'maaseh that it's mutter to eat them at a ball game. I don't know what they are, but I'm saying, let's say you're at a ball game and you have some way of proving that the pretzels are OU. And the heating element was never, you know, a Shiloh, whatever. And you're starving and there's nothing else that's kosher in the whole ballpark. So you eat five hot pretzels. So you would wash and bench l'chol adeus on that. So even if you hold that hot pretzels are mizonos, then you're koveh su'ud on them, right? That's your lunch. That's your dinner. You know, so that's it. But if it's only going to be one pretzel, and you're eating it b'torah snack, so then it depends how you understand the mechaber. So whatever bracha you make on pizza, you make the opposite on hot pretzels. That's the mnemonic device, right, that we use for that. Okay, last but not least, talk a little bit about mizonos rolls. I'll start off by saying this. Clearly no one agrees with what I'm about to say. I don't know. I'll tell you in a second. Again, they clearly exist. They're in every kosher thing with every fancy hashgach in the world telling you to make a mizonos. So no one agrees with what I'm about to say. Bedatz, not stam, like bedatz eid acharedis. What? Bedatz eid acharedis. I'm saying airplanes are fadis mizonos. I'm saying, okay, so here's the thing. So I'm saying this with, I'm probably going to present it in a fairly arrogant fashion, but I'm saying this in reality with humility, because clearly people who know a ton more than me think that there is such a thing as mizonos rolls. But there are people who know a ton more than me that think there's no such thing as mizonos rolls also, and they are correct. I'm saying, so there's no shaila. I mean, Rabbi Forst has in his book, he has a chapter called The Fallacy of Mizonos Bread. Like, and you know, that's very harsh lushan, but considering there are major poskim, obviously, who hold that there is such a thing as mizonos bread, but it's so hard to understand how you could hold that way. Saying, let's take, for example, we had that machlokas, how much apple juice, right? So, again, I don't know much about the metzias of mizonos bread, but let's pretend that this is what it is, and maybe it's not. But let's pretend that what they do is, instead of kneading the dough with water, flour, eggs, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of salt. They, instead of the water, they use a decent amount or a lot of apple juice. So as we mentioned, the question is, how much apple juice do you need, right? So best case scenario, use all apple juice, right? But even if you don't use all apple juice, use rove apple juice, right? And there's the minority view that says that if you use enough apple juice that the flavor is presentable, so then that's going to be, that's also going to be bar minei mizonos. So, leaving the sheet of the mechaber aside, l'chora the mechaber holds that most breads are mizonos bread, and that's okay. Although b'metzius, very few breads would you make a mizonos on, right? So what are we talking about here? We're talking about the type of pasa baba kisnin that Rashi and the Rambam referred to. Now, clearly, in my mind, Rashi and the Rambam were saying that the reason for the fact that it's called pasa baba kisnin because of these additives is that it's not the derech of people to eat a lot of them, right? That's what Rashi said beferish. She says you just, because of all the additives, you can't eat too much of it, and therefore nobody would eat it for a meal. I've tasted mizonos rolls in my life. They taste like rolls. They're designed to taste like rolls, and they're not. That's why they exist. If I went into Brach's, I don't know, last summer I think, and they had in the hot dog and hamburger bun section, they had Mizonos Maven rolls, and I was just a little blown away by that. I said, "You're basically calling this Mizonos, and you're telling me to put a hot dog in there? Like, who would take a piece of cake, or even a piece of Zamek Challah, and put a hot dog in there? Like, it's kind of gross, you know? I'm saying Zamek Challah as a hot dog roll. Say, who wants an eggy, sugary taste with their hot dog? You're gonna put mustard and sauerkraut on that? I'm saying it's not shaykh. I'm saying even for a hamburger, so a hamburger you might put ketchup on top, but it's not. It's the flavors don't mix. The flavors are wrong, all wrong for it. The very pretense of making a Mizonos hot dog bun shows you that's not Mizonos. I'm saying it's not even shaykh. I don't know. They have Ashgacha from, I'm sure, very reputable, knowledgeable Rabbanim, so I'm sure that there's an excellent refutation to what I just said. But even if you're going to refute what I just said, the second you put a hot dog in there and you eat it, you're making amotzi anyway. So what are we talking about here? You just were koveya su'uda on the hamburger and the hot dog bun. So if they're eaten in the manner in which they're supposed to be eaten, they're going to be birkaso hamotzi, because you're eating them with a koveya su'uda. So how are you ever going to have a Mizonos roll that you make a Mizonos on? So first of all, again, you could argue be'etzem there's no such thing as a Mizonos roll, because if it tastes like a roll, it's not Mizonos. You'll argue, I technically satisfied all the deists in the Achronim who say that it's as long as the apple juice, you know, is the rove, so then who's going to fault me for that? The whole yesod of how much apple juice to put in is basically how sweet should it be. But if it tastes exactly like a piece of bread, then does it really matter how much apple juice you put in there? That's problem number one. So even if you want to say yes, it matters. The nature of the roll is to be eaten b'kviya suda. Right? The nature of the roll is to be eaten b'kviya suda. That's what you do with it. So it's very hard to say that Mizonos rolls are going to qualify. And if you hold the other pshat, like the Aruch HaShulchan and the Nesivos, so then you got nothing to talk about. Because this is clearly not a piece of cake. This is something which is made to be eaten with the meal. Right? It's not, it's a slice of pizza much more than it's a hot pretzel. Saying it's not something which is made to be eaten as a snack. Right? So that's why I would say that Mizonos rolls is very, very problematic. And the way they're sold in Eretz Yisrael, with egg salad or tuna fish in there, and a sticker that says, Birchasa Mizonos, so it's basically telling you to be koveya su'uda on pasa babikistan and make a Mizonos. It's very unclear to me as to how you could say that. I don't know. But that seems to be the minig in Eretz Yisrael for sure. Yeah?
Just a general question. So cookies is kambabikistan?
Yeah, sure. That's cake. It was a cookies cake. I'm saying the additives in the dough. There could be another word in cookies that it's blilosan raka, that if you have cookies that are made in a pasty dough, not a doughy dough, I don't know if this how you would say it, a runnier batter. A batter versus a dough might help, saying, but even if it was made in a dough and it was a thicker, doughier cookie, then it would still be Mizonos because of all the additives. Oh, so the question is, what if you ate a million cookies, would you wash on that? So I think the minig is to say that you would wash on that, even though it's a bit of a thinner batter, because in the end of the day, it's a similar tzura of pas. Like, for example, things that have no tzura of pas whatsoever, like noodles, you could eat a million noodles and you wouldn't make amotzi, because that's not pas babikistan in the classic sense. That's something that happens to be Mizonos, right? So that's something else. So you could eat 20 bowls of oatmeal, you wouldn't wash on that either, right? Yeah? Cheerios. I would have thought that Cheerios, if you ate a ton of Cheerios, maybe you would. I'm saying that's a cracker. No, it's crackers or it's. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm curious. I look in one of the Brachos books afterwards.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Something because that book says it's possible to kiss them. I don't know what it falls on.
No, like Rabbi Forst is very machbid in his book to say. Let me look at it right now. I think I have it. Cheerios. Let's see. No, it's just Mizonos. It could be because it's cereal. It's not. It doesn't get involved in any of this, in terms of it doesn't have a tzuris apas. I mean, he just says Cheerios Mizonos. That's it. Meaning, and he's very careful to write. If you're koveh seuda on it, then you make amotzi. Yeah. Can I just say over one more thing, and then we'll deal with the other questions. So again, somebody mentioned deli roll before, and deli roll and knishes could be and throw in croissants. All those things might be different. Because there you might have the similar svek sveka that you have with pizza. You might have the similar svek sveka in terms of if you have deli roll. So first of all, by pizza we say that if they use rove apple juice in the dough, so then maybe the pizza's mizonos anyway. And in addition to that, the filling could be any filling is going to be pasa b'kisnin, or it could just be. Only candy type fillings and sweet fillings is going to be possible by Kisnin. So you have that similar svek sveka type way to look at it when it comes to deli roll, because it's not a regular bread dough. It's a very flaky, pastry dough. I think it's called pastry dough, right? You buy it in the store frozen. It's called pastry sheets or something like that. So it's not. It's very flaky, and it's not meant to look like a kviya suda type of dough. Right, and even you could take that down a notch and talk about what about like Franks and Blankets? There, the dough also is a flakier dough. So on one end, you could say that if you're at a smorgasbord and you have a Frank and a blanket or a small piece of deli roll, so then you're going to only say Boramine Mizonos, because there it's a snack environment with a snack food. Now it's true that deli roll is usually eaten be'emtza ha'su'udah, but it's not necessarily a kviya suda thing. It could be the nature of a piece of deli roll. It's not necessarily designed to be eaten. That's your meal. You know, I don't know about that part, but for certainly for Franks and Blankets, they're not made to be eaten as a whole meal. You eat them at a kiddush, you eat them at a, you know, at something like that, but it could be that the flaky dough takes care of the problem of having to get involved in the other machlokis of pasav b'kisnin. Let's say there's a filling inside, what bracha do you make on that? I don't think a deli roll is exactly a salami sandwich. Saying salami sandwich is you have the bread, you have the salami, and you put them together. Deli roll is not, it's not bread. The dough is very different. It could be pasav b'kisnin dough, even if you were just going to eat it alone. Right? And same thing you could say, it depends on what type of croissant. I remember we were looking at the Dunkin' Donuts croissants, like are very buttery, and very flaky, those lechora are mizonos until you make the sandwich out of them, then already getting into trouble. So, but I think one time they were selling Costco croissants here, which were very bread-like. They looked like a very tasty piece of bread. And those might probably be hamotzi, you know, especially if you're going to eat them as a sandwich. So then you have a good chance. Also, I forgot one thing. That's the eitzah that they tell you if you want to be, if you're on a plane and you're simply chalishing for that roll, you can't get up. The guy, you're in the middle and everybody on either side is sleeping and you can't get up to wash, or you don't want to get involved in the suffix. So what they tell you to do is, so wait till you finish everything else and then eat the roll for dessert, betoras, a piece of cake. Saying, okay, they claim, and the mashgiach claims that this is a piece of cake, so I'm going to have it for dessert. You know? So I'm going to eat this roll, but Torah is a piece of cake. So that way, it's I'm for sure not being koveh sud on it by making a sandwich with it, and I'm being moda that the taste is so different that I'm going to eat it for dessert. Right? Okay, you know, that's if you really can't get along without eating the roll. Yeah?
With deli roll, the fact that it's full, you know, therefore it's not even a pasav b'kisnin, or
no, meaning it's also the other type of pasav b'kisnin, meaning it's not just, you're not relying on the fact that it has something inside to make it mizonos. It's two types of pasav b'kisnin. It's tantamount to the type of pizza that you make with all apple juice, right? In other words, it's a piece of cake with some deli inside. Now you could argue, well, you just got done telling me that you wouldn't put a piece of deli inside a piece of cake. So that's the argument contrary, but the difference in terms of the pizza, of the bread type dough versus the flakier dough, and this is like the type of dough that you would eat as a snack, but put, you know, deli inside. It's like the exception to both rules, but that's a culinary factor. That's not a halachic factor in terms of your... It's true. You found one metzias that they would mix the two, right? So I'm not really being sosur myself by saying that you could argue that the deli rolls mizonos, even though the mizonos rolls are hamotzi. That goes without saying, then you wouldn't have a suffix, right? The same way as you kovei yisud on any possible baba kistin. Yeah?
When we talk about being kovei yisud, so let's say like you're having like leftovers from Shabbos. So you have like your potato kugel, you have a piece of chicken, and you have deli roll. You're having it for dinner. Is that called being kovei yisud?
No, then you would have to eat a certain shear of it. It's not the staple of your meal. Like if you sit down, you make your hamotzi on your big sandwich, even if the amount of bread in that sandwich is not going to be the amount of bread that you would normally eat an entire meal, but it's basically, you're determining it's the staple of the meal. So you're being kovei yisud on that. Yeah.
So basically, kovei yisud in two different ways.
Right, well, that seems to be what the Rishonim say. Either the sheer kovei yisud, or if you yourself are kovei yisud. Meaning if that's the mainstay of your meal. Yeah, yeah. I think so. Again, when it comes to that... that's why I stick to the Lashon of the Rishonim on that one, because if you look through the poskim also, there's all kinds of deos in terms of how you're when you're kovei yisud on pasul baba kistin, how much you have to eat. You know, some say a ton, some say a little less. So, you know, I'll stick with the neutral Lashon. Yeah.
Just last point of clarification. Even so, what we're saying is from the zonos, even according to the Mechaber, it should also be a motzi because Torah you're being kovei yisud on, because that's the way it's eaten.
Right. Right. Even if it's pasul baba kistin.
Right.
All right, Shkarach. Hope that cleared some things up.
Hey, I just confused. I think one slice.